I'm Lauren.
And I'm Ashley. And this, guys, is Nip Tuck Pod.
We are your girl chat. We say the things you want to hear, the things that you're thinking but you don't want to say out loud. And we're all about being strong, aspirational women who basically don't give a...
Lauren, anyway, if you want unfiltered chat, amazing beauty and product recommendations, then look no further, guys. This is the podcast where you will get all of the girly chat.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to Vicky Patterson, The Secret 2. This week, I'm joined by none other than TV's Richard Arnold. Right, you're a legend, mate. You are a legend in your own right, but you have interviewed some mega legends. Like, do you ever just pinch yourself and be like, this is my life, this is my job?
Yeah.
Like a really grateful man.
Yeah. No, and I promise you that's genuine, because it's very... Okay, so I always think, look down the ladder and see how far you've come. That's a great life lesson for anyone, you know, because sometimes if you're having a bad day, you think, hang on, Rich, you grew up in, a cul-de-sac in Andover in the 70s, then moved up to Scotland into rural Aberdeenshire, you know, in the 80s. You used to get out, we used to call them jotters up in Scotland, but you'd get out like a wee
boy. We called them jotters.
A little Love Island one here, right? So as a kid, I'd build my Lego village, and then I would write down the top 10 TV shows and colour in the logos of the top 10 TV shows for my Lego village every week. And that's sort of, you know, that's where it all began. It sounds terribly geekish. We'll put it this way. I was an only child, so I had to use my imagination. No imaginary friends apart from the Lego people, but that's a podcast for another time. But I remind myself that that's where that sort of passion started, and I'd be watching shows like Dallas on the telly, and then years later I end up interviewing the cast. Your mam will love that, or whatever, you know. And like I had lunch with Joan Collins just before the Jubilee, and I'm sat there like thinking, I used to watch Dynasty in a fog of studio line gel and products before going out to the local Young Farmers disco, and now here I am breaking bread with Joan and all that sort of thing. My first saucy novel was Jackie Collins one. I remember reading Hollywood Wives in like 1983, and then ended up getting to know Jackie very well. They're examples of people that I ended up having or have ended up with a good relationship with. And there were obviously people like Vorders and Amanda Holden and Alan Carr and people like that, lovely Sally Lindsay, to name but a few, who we have a little tribe, if you like, and go out for lunch and drinks and stuff. And that's great. But in terms of like bigger stars, in terms of like, you know, Hollywood and all that sort of thing, I remember interviewing Tony Bennett, who, you know, passed away recently. I interviewed him several times, and my dad thought I'd won the World Cup. And I remember being in Tony Bennett's apartment in New York with his little dog Happy skipping around, looking at the view at Central Park, and thinking, this is unbelievable. I remember interviewing Barbara Streisand, and she stopped the interview halfway through and mopped my top lip with a tissue because I was sweating so much. Put it this way, it's Barbara, there were a lot of lights. And then I remember Michael Bublé. I went to Jacksonville in Florida, interviewed him in his trailer. We had a few cans. In fact, we had so many cans that when we were editing the footage for GMTV, they had to crop the image so it didn't look like we'd had too many to drink. And then he invited me up on stage, and I ended up playing the cowbell. In fact, oh my goodness me. Right. Oh, Vicky, the lights have gone on. Let's bring the house lights a little bit. Look, that's me on stage with Michael Bublé. Yeah. And that's me with the cowbell. And he said, my close friend Richard Arnold's in the audience, you know, come on up. And then obviously I was taken off stage when I started playing the cowbell. Too ferociously.
Didn't know what you were going to say there, mate. Too many titties.
Exactly. So, you know, that's an incredible moment, and especially when you're a big fan. And our paths have crossed again over the years. And it's always weird when they sort of recognise you. And I don't know whether or not, and it probably is. They've been well briefed. But you end up meeting people again over the years through their career. And it's, you know, they'll come and they go, oh, yeah, hello, Richard, and all that sort of thing. Let's see what else I've got here for you, because you'll love this one, right? Mm-hmm. So, oh, watch it. Jerry Hall's just fallen down. Okay. Hold on. Here we go. This is the flimsy veneer of... Oh, hold on, I've turned my camera off.
I've lost my visual.
You lost my visual. Hold on, let's get me back. Here we are. Right. And we're back. Sorry about that.
See what happens? Telly. What are you going to do?
What happens when I do prop work, Vic? It just doesn't work, right? Me and Cher.
No, that would... Right? That would have me... She look as good in real life?
And she was just terrific. And I was like, and this was when Cher was doing, she was in Mamma Mia, as you may remember.
Yeah.
And I remember I was with my mate, we were on holiday. And I said, oh, I'm a bit disappointed I didn't get to interview Cher. They did the premiere in London, but I didn't get to do an interview with her. And I said, I always thought that I might get a bit of a Cher chat. Yeah. And then I got back from holiday and work rang. And they said, oh, can you be in LA tomorrow for 24 hours to interview Cher about her album of ABBA covers? Now, ABBA for me is just everything, right? I mean, don't get me started on meeting them, because I was in bits. And I said, yeah, I can do that. And I remember starting the day dressed as Gene Simmons from Kiss.
As you do. Yeah.
As you do. Getting that get up off, jumping on a flight. Bradley Walsh was on the flight with Barney. They were off to LA. And I landed in LA, interviewed Cher, and flew back the next morning. And it was just extraordinary. And
life, you know.
They're the pinch me moments where you just go, that is madness. So me in a room with Cher talking about ABBA. I don't think there's a glitter bomb bigger that could have gone off in my head. Do you know what I mean?
Absolutely so not.
They're the pinch me moments. But again, they don't have to be these massive moments. It can be the simplest thing. I mean, like, I was such a massive fan of The Traitors when it started. And obviously this recent season was just amazing. And when Diane came in to go on This Morning.
Oh gosh, yeah.
Center. I ran onto the set during an ad break like she was Beyonce. You know, I was fangirling over all of them. And you do get a bit like that. I mean, we had ZZ in this morning on Good Morning Britain from Celebrity Big Brother. And of course, it's the first time I'd managed to get hold of anyone who'd been in the house. And I was desperate to know, you know. So, you know, you can be ZZ, you can be Cher, you can be Michael, you can be Tony. I like you said before the break, Vicky, I still get very excited about it. You know, I love it.
And that's infectious, like, for us to watch, Richard, like, yeah. You know, it makes you, like, even just listening to you talk there about your passion, like, I was grinning from ear to ear, because I thought, yeah, you can see that. I know you mentioned, like, feeling slightly nervous if you'd interviewed ABBA, but is there anybody who's made you lose your cool, and you've thought, oh, my God, I can't go for this?
Well, when Barbara Streisand stops an interview halfway through and you think it's going well, I had quite a river in my valley then, I'll tell you that.
I wouldn't have been sweating behind the knees.
I was like, oh, no, this is it. She's going to call it and that's it. There was one moment interviewing Mariah Carey, and this was another one of those mad things. They said, can you get to Las Vegas to interview Mariah Carey? Well, it's not a phone call you're going to hang up on, is it? I said, no. Well, funny enough, yeah, I'm available for comment. I had Sunday lunch in my local, and because of the time difference, managed to fly after Sunday lunch to Vegas, do a live cross into Good Morning Britain, obviously late at night in the States, but very early in Good Morning Britain. And then I had a couple of hours kip, and then I got to interview Mariah. So I was with my lovely producer, John, and he said, Mariah's running on time. And I thought, well, that's great. That's brilliant. Because obviously we've got a flight to get back. Because they're always quick in and out.
Was it running on time or running on Mariah's time?
That's like, a very good point. Well done, Vic. Well done, Vic. Right on the money. It was running on Mariah time, but it was a very generous Mariah time, in the sense that we were a loose 15 minutes to half an hour behind schedule. And John went in to meet Mariah's team, and then he came back out and he said, oh, Rich, it's a stand-up interview. Now, in this business, a stand-up interview, it's like sort of interviewing someone on the red carpet or something. I was thinking, hang on, no, we've come all the way from, you know, London to Vegas to get like a proper sit-down interview. In other words, like at least a good 10 minutes with Mariah herself. And John said, oh, I'll go in and ask the question. Then he came back out and he was ashen-faced. Oh. And he said, Mariah's people have said they're happy for Richard to sit, but Mariah will be standing. It's like, all right. And then as we got into the corridor, Mariah was getting in position. And the only reason Mariah was standing is she was wearing a frock so tight and boned. She was amazing with bumps and lumps in all the right places. She couldn't sit down. So, and Ben Shepherd had said to me, because he'd interviewed Mariah, he said to me, she loves a chaise longue. So I thought she'd be on a chaise longue all the time. I had a vision of her, you know, on a chaise longue. But there she was standing. But it was a really interesting mechanic, actually. Rather like the intimacy we have here now, Vic, just having a bit of banter, is when you're standing opposite someone and interviewing them, you're not sort of relaxing, going down the seat and like that. You're actually more on your money, funnily enough. Yeah. And at the end of the interview, I thought, well, I've come all this way. I've got to have a picture of me and Mariah, right? So I go, okay, I'm going to come over. And she was brilliant, by the way. She loves the Brits. I said, right, I'm going to go over. I'll come in and have a picture. Well, of course, all of Mariah's people are looking at each other and looking at Mariah and wondering how this is going to go. And of course, she was really generous. So I put my arm around her and I looked up and I said, blimey, Mariah. I said, this is like having the light of seven suns on you. I mean, the lighting was like, I don't think I've ever looked better. And we had the picture and the job was a good one.
It was one for the album, wasn't it? I can tell it was a good one.
All for the album. I think generally, I don't know about you, Vic. I think generally, and you mentioned that obviously, these people are clearly all plugging something, is that people generally tend to behave, you know, if there's a camera in front of them.
Yeah. No, I think that's a good point. But then, you know, some people make you feel a certain type of way, and people can be as nice as they want to be and tell you to go and watch the film and, you know, thank you for your time. But some people just have a way of making you feel different, you know? And I wondered if there's been a standout person for you over the years who has stuck in your mind and just, you thought, God, it doesn't matter how rich or how famous you are, you're a great person.
You're a great person.
Great person.
Oh, now who, I tell you who I have a lovely relationship with on the red carpet and in interviews is Julianne Moore. She came in recently here. She's got a new show.
I've been watching it. Have you watched it?
Saucy, isn't it?
I've never seen so many bums. So many bums. Good.
Please don't let the title of this episode be Richard Arnold, the secret to seeing so many bums, all right?
No, I'm sorry, Richard. I'm not That's in control now, of that. It? I'm afraid it's done.
It's done, right. Damn it up in lights. And Julianne was just in the wings, if you like, backstage this morning. And I saw the trailer and I thought, oh, I'll pop round. And it's not very often you can say that. And I popped round and I said to her, it's live. And she went, oh, you know, like that. Oh, Richard. So there are people, that you meet that you naturally sort of click with. Michael Bublé, the aforementioned, is sort of one of them. And I think the secret is also humour is a great leveller. And, you know, you can always make someone's day better and with a gag or with warmth. And particularly if a subject is coming to an interview and they have been, you know, in all the papers, or perhaps the movie hasn't had a great review and all that sort of thing, there are always ways to make them feel a whole lot better. Still ask the questions that you want to ask. And I think the Brits, we Brits, have such a great sense of humour and sometimes lost in translation, but I think that the big American stars in particular really appreciate that. And particularly, you know, if they're coming into London town to plug something or wherever they are in the country, they enjoy that reception, you know, and that's something that we have in spades as Brits. We really do. That's a really big thing in our arsenal, I think.
Yeah, no, I obviously work on Heart Radio now. I do the drive time for the Northeast, and I always I listen to Dev, who comes on after me, and he gets all of the great celebs. And I listen to his interviews, and I think, you know, like I would remember you even if I was Timothy Chalamet or Austin Butler, whoever it was. I'd remember you because there's something about the British humour, and I think it's quite endearing. So yeah,
it is. You've got to remember when these stars come into the room to have a chat with you, invariably they're doing dozens of interviews that day from, you know, outlets from every country you can think of. And if you can make it unique, and again, back to our USP, Vic, if you can be yourself 150% and make it stand out, then you're halfway. And you want to make it fun. You know, you want to get the plug away for them, obviously, but you want it to be fun. And I always do it live, as live as we call it, right? So if I'm going in to interview someone for 7 minutes, in my head, that's 7 minutes and we're live.
Yeah.
So they could run it the whole piece. That's how I think about it. And that sort of takes the pressure off in a way, for me anyway, because once again, I'm just there to tell the story.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
I completely admire everything you've done and stuff. And if I was going to ask for advice, like, I know when you go and interview these people, like, gosh, they've probably been sitting there for hours. It's like a junket. There's like 50 people like yourself gone in and out beforehand. How do you stand out? How do you keep them fresh?
Yeah, you got. I always try and. Because you realize you're sort of essentially DJing that whole experience together. So you're in a room. We're very lucky because we use our own crew, so I know them. And you're in a room, but you know the minute the star comes in with their makeup artist, their PR, the publicist for the film company or whatever, there's a crowd of people in that room all of a sudden, and you're sat there and you've got to pull it off and you've got to land it. I remember Jennifer.
That's a lot of pressure. I'm nervous just thinking about it.
Well, again, you sort of learn. It hasn't always worked, I suppose, or you know, you've done your best. But I remember Jennifer Aniston walking in, and at the time there were loads of questions which, you know, used to drive me mad because they'd be the sort of questions that would be leveled at girlfriends of mine at dinner parties. It's like, oh, have you not had a family yet? You're not thinking about kids and thinking about getting married. All those questions that, when you think about it, are actually quite invasive. Okay. You get the fact that obviously it's a talking point. But I'm sure many women who are listening to this will feel that they've been in that situation. And I thought at the time there were loads of headlines about Jennifer, you know, reaching a certain age and, you know, is she going to get a ring on her finger, all that sort of stuff. And she came in and I'd never met her, and I turned around and I went, where the hell have you been? Right, where the hell have you been? TV's Richard Arnold, borderline national treasure. Jennifer Aniston, sit down, I've waited 10 years for this moment. And it worked.
Yes. Oh, and that was risky though, Richard.
Yes, I know.
You took a gamble.
Yeah, took a gamble. But I wanted to just diffuse any kind of sort of, you know, because they're coming into a situation like that. Even if you're a pro, it's not a natural situation, is it, to come into a room like that, even if you're a performer and obviously clearly being paid to plug the film as well. So that worked. And she sat down and she even used the phrase Richard Arnold, borderline national treasure, in the interview. So I thought, right,
I made an impression. Yeah,
I've been anointed by Jennifer Aniston. She is officially a friend. Do you know, I've never told that story.
Oh, but then you're so right. Like you say, even the most consummate professional, like, she will get sick of being asked those questions, and it wears really heavy. Like, you know, if you're repeatedly getting asked the same thing, regardless of how resilient and strong you are, these things, they get into your head. And she walking into that may have felt some type of way, whether that be nervous, like, you know, like feeling a bit stressed about what was going to ask. And I think you just diffused any tension straight away. And then that set the tone for the interview. Really nice.
Tom Hanks once said, didn't he? He said, you know, I'm giving you the same answers because I keep getting asked the same questions, you know. I once interviewed Tom Hanks for different outlets in three times in a week, right? And I got halfway through the third interview and I went, Tom, is there anything you want to ask me?
I'm honestly, Tom, I'm sick of you, mate.
Yeah, I'm sick of
me, Phil.
anything you want to ask me. And he said, sure, you seem like an interesting guy. You know, I'll tell you who's great. I know we haven't got much longer, but Rita's lovely, his wife. She's great.
This makes me so happy to know that they are nice.
She's brilliant. We've had a lot of good chats, either in Dickie's Den during COVID or I think last year at BAFTA as well. And then we bumped into each other twice in a London hotel. And she introduced me to friends of hers and stuff. I came out of the lift in this hotel and she was standing in front of me. Do you know what I mean? And I suppose it's not every day you can say to Rita Wilson, hey,
nice meeting you here.
Yeah, fancy meeting you here. And obviously it looked really dodgy because I'm coming out of a lift in a hotel room.
Just been having an appointment.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, just had an appointment.
You've been very kind about the people you've interviewed, and I do get the impression that's just you. You're a lovely man. But I wondered if you'd like to answer the spicier end of that spectrum and say who's potentially been a little bit difficult, or, you know, who's been a raving arsehole.
I think you're always prepared. And if someone perhaps hasn't shown themselves in a good light, then they've sort of damned themselves, really.
Yeah.
So you can only ever be, like, as we've established in this chat, Vic, you know, yourself. I mean, there have been a couple of people who sort of kept me waiting, but they've always delivered when the cameras are rolling, you know? And I always think, for me, one of the most important things, which is why, again, I love doing the sidebar, is we get to talk about the theatre with all of my sidekicks. We get to talk about the theatre of the interview, right? And it's all the things you behind the scenes, you watch how they talk to their people, if you like, right?
Yeah.
And that's when you get the measure of the real individual, I think, because they all do turn it on for the camera. But I honestly can't think of anyone who's been tricky at all, which I know sounds like I'm fobbing you off, but believe
me, he's political, ladies and gentlemen. He's going to be working in this industry for another 30 years.
Mate, at my age, I've kicked the shoes off, believe me. But I can't think of anyone who's been tricky, because I think, once again, there's always a way of asking the question, even if you've been briefed sort of to avoid a certain subject. And that, again, you learn from experience over the years interviewing people. And, you know, you can judge a room when you walk in, like you can if you were walking into a party, you know, or you know, that you can sense, you know, how things are. And that's just human. That's just natural. So I think always be prepared is the key. Be really prepared, because if you're meeting someone who's got a bit of a reputation, try to park that in the back of your head. Don't be daunted or intimidated by it. And then go, right, make sure you've got a dozen questions at least, just in case you're going to get, like, yes, no answers, right? Yeah. So just have that in your armory so that you can at least, you know, try and bring out the best of them, even if they're not feeling it.
Yeah, and I suppose, you know, you're right. Everyone has, like, bad days and stuff, and I'm sure not everybody who's met me on every day of my life says, oh, Vicky Patterson's so lovely, you know, there'll be a day that caught me when I was on my period or hungover or had a row with me fella, and it's not fair we judge people, is it?
No. It's lovely when we come in here in the morning, Good Morning Britain, because we are the first people that we see. You've left your partner slumbering in bed, or possibly separate rooms. That's a story for another time. I'm just kidding. But, you know, you're waking up in the
dark. Oh, soapy dick, you are a slippery fish.
You're waking up in the dark. You're not speaking to anyone until you come through the doors at GMB. We're all completely laid bare. The girls haven't got their lack of frenzy on yet, or their smoky eyes. You know, we all look like we've been dug up to a degree, within reason. I have to admit, the beauties on this show do look, at the risk of objectifying them, very fragrant in the morning, regardless of whether or not they've been to makeup. But we can only be honest with each other. And we've gone through an awful lot over the years that we've worked together. And because we are the first people we see every morning, that's what you get. And so there's no room for anything else. So that makes for a happy day down the tinsel mines. Let's put it that way.
No, it does. It all makes a difference. Couple more questions and then honestly, you are free to go. Award season is upon us. There's no getting away from it. You've probably attended your fair share of glitzy parties, but I want to know, who does the best Oscars after party?
Oh, my goodness me. Well, it would have to be the Vanity Fair one. And I've never had my leg over the rope to go there. You'd probably have to ask Ross King, but I think even he struggled to get in on occasion. They do award season brilliantly over in the States, and I did a countdown to the Oscars a couple of years ago, and there's definitely, when you're in Tinseltown like that, it's every cliche. I mean, it is on steroids. I mean, it's glitter and spangle like you can only imagine. And that is the biggest event in the calendar. I think we Brits know how to party. I mean, when you roll on from BAFTA to a cheeky little private club in London town and you find yourself quaffing with people and they're clutching their lovely bit of brass that they've picked up, you think, oh, this is quite something. But of course, the thing is, I get up at the crack of a sparrow's fart, Vic. So I make a good show of being a party boy on Good Morning Britain, but you know, it's not for me to pull an all-nighter at my age.
Yeah.
Skip outside Nando's. Do you know what I mean? I basically as soon as I've done my interviews, I'm like, right, quick glass, and then right, I'm out. I'm going home and I'll watch the ceremony with the dinner on my lap. It's so much nicer. You get the best view in the house, don't you?
I mean,
the O2, having a mini burger in a, you know, in one of the boxes if you're lucky. But you know, Adele is still gonna look like a little speck. You might as well just watch it. You get the best view from your own living room. Yeah. I'm telling you that now. Get a six pack in, pop a cork, whether you prefer a big bang or a little puff, and enjoy award season on your sofa. That's Soapy Dick's recommendation.
I honestly can't agree with you more. Like, can we fella? He's really excited by everything still. And like, I consider myself to be a bit long in the tooth, like in this industry. So when he sees people at like fancy premieres and stuff, he's like, do you think we could go to them? And I'm like, babes, when I watch a film, I want to have an ice blast. I want to have my trackies on. I want to be covered in nacho crumbs. Like, I don't want to be like breathing in and like stressed about who I'm going to see. And he's like, oh, I do get it. But I think maybe that comes with, you know, how long we've been doing it, potentially.
It's how long we've been doing it. Vicky and Dickie. Here we go. Vicky and Dickie. We're literally like, yeah.
I'm
anyway,
obsessed.
Yeah, I'm we're still here.
Not getting rid of us, mate. No. Before I let you go, I just want to ask, here at Vicky Pass and the Secret 2, we always give our gorgeous guests the opportunity to give our lovely listeners a couple of pearls of wisdom. And you've been so generous with your beautiful stories and your wonderful advice. I promise this is the last one. There is no arguing that you have experienced extreme longevity in your career. You are still current and completely smashing it. I want to know what your secret was to still standing.
The secret to still standing is good grace and manners, as I've said. It's amazing how that can assuage, if you like, your passage. I'm still standing because I've still got a mortgage. When anybody asks, I don't know how you do this every morning. I'm going, well, you know, there are bills.
Money is a great motivator.
Yeah, but no, it is definitely, you know, having a passion for what you do is a huge privilege. But I would say good grace and manners, they'll cut a swathe through any path in life. And that would be my top tip, so to speak.
Where I'm from in Newcastle, we don't have a tube or anything. We have a metro. And one of the stations on that is Manners. And I have a friend, I lost him a couple of years ago, sadly, but he always used to say, Manners is not just a metro station.
It's so true. And yeah, God bless him on the damp cloud. Yeah. And I, you know, absolutely take that to heart. You can always make someone's days better. You can always make someone's day better. You really can.
Well, you have made my day better today, Richard. And I'm sure everyone who's listening, you've made theirs better as well. You're the best. Thank you so much.
Oh, Vicky, you're amazing. Now, you've got three plants on that windowsill. Can I have one? Because I don't think my bonsai tree is going to make it, did it?
I'm on Good Morning Britain on Friday. I'll bring you a plant.
No way! Oh, magnificent! It's been too long, mate. You can come in and sign my fan art.
I can't wait. I feel very special to have even been asked.
Bravo, mate. A lot of fun.
Thank you. I will do, babe. Well, guys, that was TV's Richard Arnold. And I'm sure you had just as much fun listening to that as I did chatting to him. What a lovely fella. And his stories, oh my gosh. He is living some life. If you want to hear more about his showbiz secrets, then his fantastic podcast, The Sidebar, is out and available now wherever you get your podcasts. Vicky Patterson The Secret 2 is now available on YouTube as well if you prefer to consume your content in a visual platform. And don't forget, guys, this week, please tell someone who you think would like our podcast, whether that's a friend, whether that's someone at work. We're always trying to grow our little community. Have a really great week, everybody. You deserve it.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.